Let's look at our Bible this evening to the book of Acts, to chapter 7. The book of Acts, and in chapter 7, we'll begin by reading just two verses, verse 59 and verse 60. Well, let's have a word of prayer before we read. Our Father, thank you again for the day. Thank you for the blessings of it. Again, we're just thankful that you watch over us and care for us as you do. We ask you to be with us as we worship you this evening, as we study a portion of your word. Again, we do ask for your help as we look into the scriptures. Help us to have a desire to learn and know more and more of your word. Again, we just thank you for your care for us, your people. We pray for that you'd help those that are of our church that are sick. Pray that you'd be with them and continue to fill the needs as only you can. And we just pray for each member of our church that you'd be with each one. Your blessings would be upon them. We pray for your people, your churches all over this world. We ask you to be with each one of them. We do thank you for our Savior. We're thankful for our blood redemption. We're thankful for the security and safety that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in His name I pray. Amen. I want us to look this evening at the death of Stephen. It's a very interesting account in the Word of God. I'm just going to begin, as I said, reading two verses in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and verse 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Certainly it does not mean those that were doing the stoning were calling upon God, but Stephen was calling upon God, and we're told what he said. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Before we look at the death of Stephen in more detail, I'm going to go to the book of Numbers just a moment. In Numbers in chapter 23, there's a statement back here. I guess I'll be taking it out of its context. But in Numbers 23 and in verse 10, toward the latter part of the verse, Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." I cannot think of the death of Stephen without thinking about the death of the righteous. In the book of Joshua, and I won't turn there, but in Joshua 23 and in verse 14, death is referred to as the way of all the earth. The way of all the earth, and no doubt that death is common to mankind. It's appointed unto men to die. But there is no doubt that there is a difference between the death of the righteous and the death of the unrighteous. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs, and in Proverbs 14 that I'm going to read. Proverbs in chapter 14, in verse 32. Here the scripture says, "The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death." That is a distinguishing characteristic of the difference between the death of the righteous and the death of the unrighteous. From there, I'm going to go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, just for a reminder of what the Apostle Paul did write in this epistle. In Ephesians in chapter 2 and in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, and here's the statement, having no hope. No hope. We read in Proverbs in chapter 14, verse 32, that the righteous hath hope in his death. But the unrighteous, as they live here upon this earth, have no hope in their lives, and they have no hope in their deaths. No hope at all. One more place in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and in chapter 4, in 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There are those who absolutely have no hope. The believer certainly has hope. You can turn over to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and in verse 16, and you find that to the believer there is given everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. But there are those who have no hope. But the righteous hath hope in his death. One more place before I go back to the book of Acts, James in chapter 4. As we consider the death of Stephen, we'll actually be looking at the death of the righteous. I think one of the reasons that we have this account in the Scripture is, it's a great example of the death of the righteous. And we consider this in James chapter 4 and in verse 14. You have a question and also the answer is given. James 4 verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Now here's the question. For what is your life? And here's the answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is likened unto this temporary vapor. Think of all the many lives, millions and millions of lives, that have been lived upon this earth since Adam. The number, I'm sure, would just be staggering and unimaginable. But people appear upon the earth. They live their lives and they die. For a short moment you see them and you know them, and then, like that vapor, they're gone. You and I are in a long line of individuals going the way of all the earth. We're in that process now of going the way of all the earth. Our lives, we could say our vapors, are now appearing, but like those before us, it'll soon just vanish away. Here in James again, what is your life? Well, it's likened unto this vapor that just appears, then it disappears. It only lasts for a moment. In verse 14 of James 4, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Well, keep that in mind, if you would. I'm going back to the book of Acts in chapter 7, verse 59 and verse 60 once again. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. If you would turn over to Acts chapter 22. Stephen is known as the first Christian martyr. In Acts chapter 22, notice in verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, Paul said, I was standing by. But notice here that Stephen is referred to as the Lord's martyr. The Lord's martyr. The word martyr that is used here literally means witness. Witness. Usually when the word martyr is used, it refers to one who was a faithful witness of Christ by means of their death. Go with me to Revelation in chapter 17. Consider Stephen as that faithful martyr. In Revelation and in chapter 17 and in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Look back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation and in chapter 2, verse 13, as Jesus sends this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamos, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hath not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. We've read the only three passages of Scripture that I know of where the word martyr is found in the New Testament. Again, it's the same word that is translated witness. Keep this in mind here in verse 13, that Antipas was called my faithful martyr. If you look in chapter 1 of Revelation, in verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. That word witness is the same word that's translated martyr. Antipas was the Lord's faithful martyr. The same word is used here with Jesus, but it's not translated here martyr, but witness. You look in chapter 3 and in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Again, the same word. Jesus is never referred to as a martyr. He was not a martyr. And the translators got it right when they were translating the word. For Stephen, Antipas, and others, the word martyr can be rightly used. They were a witness for Christ even in their death and unto death. But Jesus was not a martyr. Nobody took his life. He willingly laid it down of himself. He is the faithful witness. Now, I mentioned that just to point out in our text in Acts chapter 7 concerning Stephen. He was the Lord's faithful martyr, a witness of the Lord, even in his death and unto death. And we read again in verse 59 and in verse 60 about the martyrdom of Stephen. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And here is the witness of Jesus, of Stephen. The martyrdom of Stephen is the only one that is recorded in the New Testament in such details as we have it in our text in Acts chapter 6 and also in chapter 7. Other than the death of Jesus Christ, we're given more details in the New Testament about the death of Stephen than any other saint. And I think there certainly is a purpose in that. We have the record in the New Testament of the death of many. We're told that James was slain with a sword. That's about all we're told about his death. Others we're told about their death, but we're given more details of the death of Stephen. We're told about what he said just before his death, what his attitude was, or his frame of mind, his thoughts, even as he would draw his last breath. We're given his words here in the Scripture. And to begin with, I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 6. I want us to notice the timing of Stephen's death and remembering what we read in the book of James, that life is just a vapor. It appears for a little time and it vanishes away. And how I see that in the life and ministry of Stephen. His death happened in the midst of his service to the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, in verses 1 through verse 7, Stephen, you remember, was chosen as one of the seven. In Acts 6, verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus. I have a hard time with that word for some reason. Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests believed. Now, considering this, and that Stephen was chosen as one of the seven, Stephen's life, even though it's very short from this time, involved much more than what is mentioned in these verses. There was much more to his life. If you look at verse 8, and Stephen was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. That tells you something about his life. In verse 5, he's full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, it says he's full of faith and power, and also in verse 8, he did great wonders and miracles. And evidently, Stephen was a great preacher. And I say that because of what's written in verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And there is an exhaustive sermon recorded here by Stephen. But Stephen, being who he was, and you'll notice again, he's the first mentioned in verse 5, and first mention usually has a significance in the Bible. When they were going to choose 7, the first one mentioned was Stephen. And we're told some details about him in that choosing and why they did choose him. But again, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. His message, his delivery, his words just could not be resisted in verse 10. The enemies of the Lord that are mentioned in verse 9 did not have the ability to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen did speak. So what did they do? They set their sights on Stephen, and Stephen became their target. They singled out Stephen. And after just a very short ministry, Stephen was killed. I mean, from Acts chapter 6 here, and what you read here, then you go to Acts chapter 7, Stephen's ministry is over. He is killed. His vapor appeared for a little time, and then it faded away. He had a very short ministry. It makes one wonder why the Lord allowed Stephen to be taken away so quickly. I mean, from public service, serving the Lord and the Lord's people in Acts 6, verse 1 through verse 7, and then just almost immediately, Stephen is killed. Why such a very short ministry? Well, I don't know. I don't know the mind of the Lord. But it could be that the Lord uses this to show how great things God can do with an individual, with a God-called man in a very short period of time. It could be to show that God's not dependent upon any of us. We can all be just taken out at any time. The Lord does not really need us. Notice in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, after he had brought the message that I won't read in Acts chapter 7, in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, and of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth." Notice the hatred of Stephen. Notice also in verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." This is all involved in the death of Stephen. Notice his ministry. He was very short. He was chosen. How many miracles and wonders he did, I don't know. But it seems like from the time he was chosen to be one of the 7, his ministry just so short. the great sermon that he did deliver there. How many other sermons he did, I don't know. But evidently there was more than this one. But here we find Stephen before this multitude that hated the Lord Jesus Christ, hated the gospel of Jesus Christ, and certainly those who preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're told in verse 54, they were cut to the heart. A big difference, and I won't go into it now, being pricked in the heart and being cut in the heart. You find in Scriptures God's elect, when they hear the gospel, being pricked in their heart. But here the enemies of the Lord were cut to the heart. And you notice in this hatred of Stephen, and here's a part of the death of the righteous, he remained calm. He remained peaceful. His faith never wavered. Even up until the time in verse 60 where he did draw his last breath. Stephen had to know, even before the stoning, that he had preached his last sermon. He just had to know that. I mean, the enemies of the Lord are there. They are cut to the heart. They gnash on him with their teeth, and they just hate Stephen. And in verse 57, when they ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, Stephen had to know, I'll never preach another sermon. Again, his ministry is so short. It's a reminder to me, and we should have a reminder to all preachers, we never know when we'll preach our last sermon. We never know. I'm reminded of that every time I go to Guyana, and I've told you this before, but I'll mention it again. When I go to Guyana, I preach in three different churches down there. And one of them, it's where Brother Elvis Gregory preached his last sermon. And I know that he had no way of knowing when he preached there that day, left the building. A little bit later, they got on that private plane and took off, heading to Puerto Rico and flew into the side of a mountain. He never knew when he preached that sermon that day that was his last sermon. I'm reminded of that every time I go down there. Stephen here had to know, I have preached my last sermon. In verse 58, when they cast him out of the city, he had to know death was very imminent. And in the death of Stephen is the death of the righteous. In verse 59, Stephen was calling upon God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knew very shortly his spirit was going to leave his body. There's a lot could be said in that. But Stephen knew that. In verse 60, notice, he kneeled down. The stones that were being cast at him did not cause him to kneel. He did this of his own accord in verse 60. He kneeled down. Why? Why would Stephen kneel down? Well, it was not to beg for mercy and leniency, but rather it was to intercede for those that were stoning him. Notice the death of the righteous. When he kneeled down, he did not speak a word of vengeance against those that would be stoning him, but rather he offers a prayer for them. And then in verse 60, Stephen fell asleep. We know that sleep is a word that's used for death in the Scripture, but it's very appropriate here that we have this, that he fell asleep. He seemed to just die free of all care. You don't find Stephen being full of care and anxiety or anything else. Certainly there's no fear indicated here. Stephen just kneeled down, prayed, and the Scripture says he fell asleep. He does not seem to be wondering, well, how the church is going to make it without me now. He does not seem to be wondering, how will the apostles make it without me? I mean, he was chosen as one that would help the apostles. But he did not seem to be wondering about that. I think Stephen knew the Lord made it just fine before his ministry, and he'd make it just fine after his ministry. I've known some preachers that seem to have the idea that everything depended upon them. They preach at a church for many years, and they seem to have the idea, you know, well, everything's going to fall apart without me. But they learn that things go on very well without them. It's a good thing to know that the Lord does not need us. I find that in the death of Stephen. He knew, it seems like here, that the Lord did not need him. But again, in verse 60, the intercessory prayer. It's interesting to me. Some people have said that it's like the prayer of Jesus when Jesus was being crucified, but I'd have to say, no, it's not. In verse 60, Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's not the same thing that Jesus said. You remember when Jesus was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we're told in Scripture, if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These that stoned Stephen knew exactly what they were doing. So he did not use the same words that Jesus did. He simply said, lay not this sin to their charge. He could not go as far as Jesus did. But he did pray for them. In verse 55 and verse 56, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Something peculiar here. It's the only time I know of in the New Testament that anyone referred to Jesus as the Son of Man other than Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man. But again, it speaks of his humanity. And as Stephen was approaching death here, the Bible says he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He had a interesting view here, it seems like. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know, I don't know if any of us will see this or not when we get to the time of our death, but I'm thankful we don't have to. That we've been given faith to know that He's there. I don't have to see Him there. I know He's there. Because the Word of God says He was there. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice Stephen died fully trusting Jesus. Fully trusting Jesus. In verse 59, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And again, I think we have here a great example of the death of the righteous. Time of death, faith does not waver. Throughout his life, Stephen was full of faith. He was full of faith in his death. I mean, right up to the very last minute here in verse 59 and verse 60. To the very last second even. The lesson here for us, I think there's many, many lessons. But I go back to where I read in the book of Numbers. How I want to die the death of the righteous. Die as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know death is the end of our earthly life, but I'm convinced that our deaths are as much a part of our lives as our births are. It's a part of our life. We have a beginning and we have an end. May God help us to live lives full of faith and then die in the same manner in which we live. Over the years, I've seen a good many people draw their last breath. And many times it just seems like they just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. The death of the righteous. Remember in Proverbs, the righteous have hope in their death. We can see that in the death of Stephen. One of the saddest things you'll ever witness upon the earth is the death of an unbeliever. And they have no hope. No hope. The death of the righteous. Let's stop here and let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father, again, we thank You for this portion of Your Word. We're thankful that this record is left for us. We know that there's so many lessons here for Your people. We're thankful for these great examples that we have in the Scriptures. We know, as is written in Your Word, that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Help us to have a desire to live the right life of the righteous and die the death of the righteous. We're thankful again for the grace that makes that possible. We're thankful for the shed blood that makes that possible. We're thankful that we do not live this life without hope, and we will not die without hope. And we pray in Jesus' name.